If you would, turn in your Bibles to 2 Corinthians and chapter 4 this morning. 2 Corinthians and chapter 4. Sermon title today is Treasured by God. Treasured by God. So 2 Corinthians chapter 4. We may be leaving this portion of Scripture from time to time, but we're going to be coming back to it. But in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 16, it says, "Therefore we do not lose heart. Even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a more exceedingly and eternal weight of glory, while we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal." Earlier this year, I needed to have an eye exam. I was having trouble with my glasses. They needed to be repaired, and I kept getting them repaired, and they still weren't working right, so it was time to get new glasses. So I went, scheduled an eye appointment. Well, Carol and I scheduled the eye appointment the same day, so it was back to back. So I went in first, and then she went in second, and I come out of the optometrist, and I said, "The doctor said that my eyes have got better over the last year." And Carol said, "Well, that must not happen very often." She says, "What did the doctor say?" So what did the doctor say? And I said, "The doctor said that this only happens to very special people." "And you want to make sure that you hang on to me." So immediately, the door was open. It's like ka-ching. I was able to walk right through it, but it didn't last very long. She says, "Oh, yeah, you are very special. You are very special." So in verse 16, it says, "Therefore we do not lose heart, even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. No, my physical body is not getting better year by year. My mind might say that, yes, I'm still 35 years old, but my body tells me that, no, I am not 35 years old. But inside of each and every one of you today is a warrior of faith that is being renewed daily by the power of the Holy Spirit. Through His Spirit and through His Word, I am being renewed daily." In verse 7, it says, "But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us." So in God's eyes, each one of us are a treasure. I am treasured by God. This treasure is the light of Christ that is shown in your hearts and in your lives from that newness of you accepting Christ as your Lord and Savior and becoming that new creation in Christ Jesus. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 6, it says, "For it is the God who has commanded light to shine out of darkness, who has shown in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ." And then he says in verse 7, "But we have this treasure." The treasure of the knowledge of knowing Jesus Christ as His as Lord and Savior, the treasure of that light shining in each and every one of our lives, and the treasure of the Holy Spirit that dwells in our lives. That is a treasure that we have in each and every one of us today, that He dwells in each and of us richly. "Yes, I give thanks for my God, for my Savior, for the Holy Spirit that dwells in my life. My body may be perishing, but I am renewed daily by the Holy Spirit." Amen? Yes, we are a treasure to God. He birthed each and every one of us with new life, and we praise Him forevermore. His life, His presence. You are a child of God. If you turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 2, we're going to come back to 2 Corinthians, but if you go with me to 1 Peter and chapter 2, 1 Peter and chapter 2, listen to the words in verse 9. So 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9, it says, "But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, His special people, that you might proclaim the praises of Him who called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. Once were not a people, but now are the people of God, who had not attained mercy, but now you have obtained mercy." Praise God, because you have got something special in your life that the world is looking for, and praise God that you are a person that found it. And the world is still searching, still looking, still trying to find that answer. If you back up to 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 6, it says, "Therefore it is also contained in the Scripture, 'Behold, I lay on Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he who believes on him will by no means be put to shame. Therefore, to you who believe, he is precious. But to those who are disobedient, the stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone.'" And we're talking about Jesus. "And a stone of stumbling, a rock of offense. They stumble, being disobedient to the word, to which they also were appointed." Appointed to be saved. No one's born to go to hell. All have been born to go to heaven. But how many people are rejecting? They reject that witness. They reject that testimony of the Holy Spirit in their life. But you know something, brother and sister? You didn't reject it. You didn't reject it. You accepted it. You're a treasure in God's eyes. You're a child of the Most High God. You have the Spirit of the living God dwelling within your life. That's what makes you a treasure. He says, "But you are a chosen generation," in verse 9, "a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, but once were not a people, but now are the people of God, who have not attained mercy, but now have obtained mercy." Praise his name. But as the saints of God, there's something that's critical that you need to remember. If you look at 1 Peter chapter 2 and look at verse 11, it says, "Beloved, I beg you as sojourners and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul." He says in verse 11, "Beloved, I beg you as sojourners." We are sojourners in this world. Hebrews 13:14 says, "For here we have no continuing city, but we seek one to come." To always remember that you and I are just passing through this world. This world is not ours. We're looking for that continuing city. It is not found on this earth. So we need to make sure that we're focusing on the right thing in our life, or we set ourselves up for disappointment. Turn with me to Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3. In Colossians chapter 3, verse 1. In Colossians chapter 3, verse 1, it says, "If then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on the things that are of this earth." Saints, we are for a moment earthly bound. You and I are earthly bound, but we must be heavenly minded. So earthly bound, but heavenly minded. The Christian's focus must be on eternity. If not, the challenges in this world will be devastating to each and every one of us. Heaven is not found on this earth, and then another heaven in eternity. And I think sometimes Christians look at it that way. I'm going to live here. I'm going to enjoy everything that there is on this earth. I mean, it's just like everything is wrapped up here. I'm going to save as much money as I can. I'm going to do everything possible I can. I'm going to get every enjoyment there is out of the world. And you know what we do when we do that? We set ourselves up for disappointment. Heaven is only found in one place, and it's not here on this earth. How much of your life has it looked like heaven to you? Now think about that just for a moment. All the things that you have gone through in your life. We don't have time to list all the things that you have gone through. If we filled out poster sheets, these walls would be covered of the experiences and the heartaches and the devastation that you have faced as an individual in this life. But we keep looking to find it here. And that's why the Christian needs to stop looking at it here as everything is wrapped up here. Oh, yes, we can find happiness from time to time here on earth. I enjoy the fall season. I don't enjoy the darkness. I don't enjoy the cloudy days. I enjoy the sunlight. And I have happiness in that. But true joy, lasting joy, is only found in Jesus. I'm going to say that again because you know it's true. That true joy and only lasting joy is only found in Jesus. It's not found in the things of this world. Now go back with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians, we're going to go back to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 8 and 9. Verse 8 says, and this is the Apostle Paul, look what he experienced. He says, we are hard pressed on every side, but we're not crushed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. So we are hard pressed on every side, yet we are not crushed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Think about that just for a moment, and sometimes we struggle with family relationships. Does anybody out there have a dysfunctional family? The answer is no. Every family is perfect, right? But sometimes we will be so perplexed by the things that we are experiencing in this world. But what does the apostle say? He says that we are hard-pressed on every side, but we're not crushed. We're not crushed by it. And we are also perplexed, but we're not in despair about it. Why could the apostle Paul go through those various challenges that he faced in life and not be perplexed and not be crushed? Because heaven was his home. His focus was on heaven. His focus was on his relationship with the Lord Jesus. If you're looking for happiness here on this earth, you're setting yourself up for disappointment. Now we're going into the holiday season. How many of us are setting ourselves up for disappointment? Thanksgiving is about giving thanks to God. Christmas is about the birth of our Savior. And I don't think there's anything from God that I've ever been depressed about, or I've been ever been distressed about, or I've been crushed about. Because my God only blesses me. He does not disappoint me. So when you have your eyes where your eyes need to be, you're not going to be crushed. You're not going to be perplexed at Thanksgiving. You're not going to be crushed at Christmas. You're not going to be perplexed at Christmas, because your eyes are on your relationship with your Heavenly Father and not the things that are swirling around you. Paul was able to do that. If Paul's able to do that, we know that we can do that as well. That same blessing is for us. What does he say in Philippians? He says, I know how to be abased, and I know how to abound in all things. I give God glory in all of those things. The Lord meets my needs. So yes, we can find happiness from time to time on this earth. There are things that you enjoy. There's things that I enjoy. But true joy and lasting joy is only found in heaven. When you look at verse 16, he says, therefore we do not lose heart. Have you losing heart? Have you lost heart? Even though our outward man is perishing, but the inward man is being renewed day by day, for our light affliction. Hallelujah. It may seem distressing. It may seem crushing. But it's a light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far exceedingly and eternal weight of glory. We need to stop living in disappointment, but start living in expectation. Expectation of what God is going to do, not how people are going to disappoint me. You've all faced a tremendous amount of disappointment. I know that you have. I have great compassion for this church. I have great compassion for the people of this church. Carol and I love the people of this church. And we know that so many of you have gone through the disappointments and the trials and the heartaches. But it's time, church, that we take our eyes off the things of the world and we get our eyes on the things of God. Because we know that God will bless us. I don't even want to go through all the things that I've gone through in my own life, let alone review any of yours, because I know how heartful and how hurtful that is for individuals. But God knows how hurtful that is. He tells you to keep your eyes on Him. Keep your trust in Him. For our light affliction, we do not lose heart, saints. If you're living a life of heaven on earth, you will have just assigned yourself to a life of disappointment. Well, if only this world would change, if only this would do, they would do this or that, then I would be happy. That's not going to happen. Look at what Paul says in verse 8 and 9 again. So verse chapter 4, verse 8. Chapter 4 and verse 8. He says, we are hard-pressed on every side, yet not crushed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. But look at what he says in chapter 4, verse 1. In chapter 4, verse 1, he says, therefore, since we have this ministry, we have received mercy. We do not lose heart. Again in verse 16, therefore we do not lose heart. We do not lose heart because of our life that we have in Christ. Yes, I can live through this life victoriously, but only if I realize that true fulfillment, true joy is not found on earth, it's not found in people, but it's only found in the Lord Jesus Christ. The last 2 weeks, we've spoken about Satan's delivery system. And the temptation that is many times delivered to us right into the front of our face by other people. Satan loves to set you up for disappointment, to discourage you, to rob you, to hurt you, to embitter you. He's a thief that has come to destroy, kill, and destroy. But Jesus says in John 10:10 that he came that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. So where is abundant living? Where is life truly experienced? In your relationship with Jesus, not in the world. Going into the holiday season, has he set you up for disappointment? Saint, I'm talking to you. It's between you and your relationship with the Lord. Has the adversary set you up for disappointment going into the holiday season? Can you see it already? Is it earthly oriented? And I guarantee it is earthly oriented. A lot of it has to do with our families. A lot of it has to do with loneliness. A lot of it has to do with being by ourselves. We get this picture on TV of everyone just being so happy in the same room. They just love each other. They just care for each other. And if your family is that way, man, I praise God for you. But many of our families are not that way. I have family members I don't even speak to. I have family members I don't even see. I have family members that don't want to see me. We all experience those things. But when I come into Christmas, I love Christmas because of my relationship, not with the people on earth, but I love my relationship with Jesus. And He is the reason for the season. He's also the reason for the season in Thanksgiving that we give God the glory. Because this past year, you know what? He met your needs. He met your needs. We need to be heavenly minded. And the scripture is encouraging us that. Keep your mind focused on the things above, not on the things beneath. Thanksgiving is about God. Christmas is about God. Don't let Satan convince you otherwise. Yes, this day and every day, we give thanks to a wonderful and merciful God. Don't let anything on this earth steal that joy that comes from Him in your life. You are a treasure to God. Say that with me. I am a treasure with God. I am a treasure with God. Ye looks upon you, you are His treasure. The people on this earth, you belong to Him. Millions and millions of people on this earth don't belong to Him. You are that peculiar treasure. You are that diamond that is found in a rough because there's only a very few of you. Praise God that He loves us that much. You are a treasure to God. You carry the gift of eternal life. Hallelujah. Nobody can take that away from you. The Lord Jesus says, no one can pluck you out of my hand. You belong to Jesus. You are sealed by the Holy Spirit. You are heaven bound. We should have reason to rejoice in our God and our Creator today. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. If you would stand with me today, I'm going to turn to Psalm 136. Face it, brother and sister, we all need a holiday pep talk. It can be discouraging. In Psalms 136, I think Jonathan's got it on the overhead, but I'm going to read verses 1 through 3, and then I'm going to read verse 26, and I'm going to read... I'm going to read the front part of it. You're going to say it. You're going to repeat the words. You're going to repeat the words, for his mercy endures forever. Okay? So you're going to say the words, for his mercy endures forever. So let's try this on verse 1. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good.
For his mercy endures
forever. Oh, give thanks to the God of gods. Oh, give thanks to the Lord of lords. And oh, give thanks to the God of heaven. Hallelujah. Father, we praise you and glorify your name today. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Father, we pray that as we leave this place today, your hand would be upon each and every one of our lives. And I pray over each and every one of these families, each and every one of these individuals today, that, Father, you will open the windows of heaven. This will be a time as never a time before that they are going to be blessed by your presence, by your closeness, by your nearness. And we give you all glory and all honor and all praise. In Jesus' name we pray. And everyone said,
amen.
You are dismissed.